Welcome to Inside Out, the podcast brought to you by ISMD and SMNO alumni. Fantastic having you listening in today. My name is Michelle Ernest, a current ISMD student.
And I'm Peter. I'm a teacher at both ISMD and SMNO. Today, we're joined by an SMNO alumnus, Wouter de Haas. Wouter is going to talk a little bit about his time during and after SMNO, and he's going to explain a little bit about his link to the Pamoja Kenya project. We also have a special mystery guest, but more about him later. First of all, Wouter, welcome. Nice to have you here. You studied SMNO from 2012 to 2016, right?
That's correct.
So you graduated in 4 years. Nice job. You entered the Pamoja Kenya project and you worked as the financial coordinator. I also read that you did various internships during your time at SMNO, and you are now an account manager at Pernod Ricard.
That's correct. Like, completely different from like the sport branch, but still in business.
Yep. And looking back, what would you say were your biggest takeaways from your time at SMNO, and how do you apply that in your current job?
I think that the internships, the possibility to have a couple of internships at SMNO was like a good way to discover what do you like and what do you want to do when you like graduate at studies. Mm-hmm. For instance, the Pamoja Kenya project, it was a great way to see how it works to work in an NGO, at an NGO. But also like traveling abroad, having an internship in New Zealand, or graduating at like a company which was a partner at Sport EY at that time. So you got a bit of everything, actually.
So it was more the internships than what the teachers were actually teaching you?
More to bring like the things which they teach you in practice.
Ah, okay. You saved yourself there a little bit. Yeah. Okay, cool. And since you put so much emphasis on internship and you got a lot of out of the internships, for current or future SMNO students, do you have any advice how to get the perfect internship?
Oh, don't be afraid. Just dare to ask. I have a funny story about that one, actually, because during my second year, I did like my first internship at the Rugby Federation. And I remember that my teachers at that time, Jaap van Hulten, he told me, like, you have to make your network. If you know a lot of people and like you dare to ask, you can get there. And during that internship at the Rugby Federation, I met like a guy who worked at EY at that time, and they were a partner in Sport, and they had the Women's Sevens World Series at that time, and they were the big sponsor of that. And after that internship, I went to the third year, and I knew that EY would been presented at the Olympic Games as okay. The partner in Sport. So the third year, I went to the same tournament where I used to did my internship for, and I just walked to him, and I said, I would like to do my graduation internship at EY during the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
And it's just that you have to dare. Right. Don't be afraid. Like, everybody is just a regular person, and don't be shy in that way. And you can get a no, but like a lot of times you get a yes.
Sure. Great advice. Awesome. You've taken I don't want to call it a detour because I don't know how long you're going to stay in your current role, but you ventured outside of sports. Basically two-folded question. What was that like, and do you ever have any ambitions to go back into the world of sport?
Yeah, good question. So after I graduated, it was at the end of 2016, I thought, oh, what do I want to do actually? Because I've done so many things, like I really like the part of account management already. I did a minor sport and business at SMNO, where we had Henry de Weert, and he did like the sales classes over there, which was really cool.
Sure.
And the first thing what I did is I thought, oh, I'm gonna look for jobs in the sport. So I went to Race Planet for a marketing function. I actually didn't like it at all, so I quit it during my talk. But then I saw that there was a place where I could sell payment systems for sport clubs in the Netherlands. So I applied there, and I got the job, and I really liked it. But eventually I realized that I like the job being an account manager more than the relation to sports. That I thought, oh, do I still want to work in that sports, or do I want to follow my passion about like selling stuff or having a good relationship with your customers? And that's how it ended up that I slowly moved out of the sports, because first I changed of role in my company, going from sports to events, and then now I'm now selling booze.
Yeah, clear. And how about coming back to the world of sports at some point? Do you have any business, or you're really good where you are right now?
It depends on. I hope that I will have a friend which has the entrepreneur in him, and that I can be the one who can do the sales part at his company and like leading the company in that way.
Sure.
And that's for me a real way to get back into the sports. But I don't have concrete plans, to be honest.
Okay, gotcha. Clear. Well, we love to hear about how you ended up in your current position after studying SMNO, but we're mainly, during this podcast, wondering about the Pamoja Kenya project. In your own words, can you tell our listeners what the Pamoja Kenya project is all about?
Yeah, so in the second year of SMNO, we had the possibility to work in the Netherlands on a project which is called Pamoja Kenya. And in it is an ongoing project. There is a collaboration between the University of Amsterdam with a local organization called ASTEP. And ASTEP is using sports as a way to unite people, but also to lecture people. And actually, what I'm telling now is everything I heard, and I fell in love already. And I thought, I want to do that. I want to go abroad. I want to do something good for the world. And I don't want to be that Mzungu. Like, it's white guy in Swahili, okay. I guess.
Yeah, in Swahili.
Woman is going to a country and thinks, okay, I'm going to do it all. It's so good to have a local organization behind it where you collaborate with. And it's super cool to do it with like a bunch of students, actually.
Right. Is that how your mindset was going into it at the beginning? Or did you learn a big lesson which allowed you to think of it?
Yes, definitely. I first thought like exactly the other way around. Yeah. In the way, oh, I'm going to do something really good, and I still want to be the one who goes to Kenya and gives away everything which I collected. So we came there, I think, with maybe 200 kilo of sports gear, from Ajax jerseys to old football shoes, all kind of stuff. And my biggest lesson over there, it came from Timothy. I wanted to give it away to the poor little guys who looked like really that they needed it. Mm-hmm. But the only reason why I wanted to do that is because I probably will feel better myself when I give something to somebody without knowing the consequences of what will happen afterwards. Because what if like another guy from the group sees that same little guy and thinks, oh, he looks cute, I will give it to him.
Right.
And the next one will do that. How will the community react on that if that guy gets everything while he already like has a jersey and has everything?
So at the end of the day, it seems like the thing that your good intentions ends up being something that will be more detrimental.
Exactly. That was the biggest lesson about the project. And that's like the key takeout of working with a local partner in Kenya, is that they know how it goes there. And we don't know that, but we think that we know it.
Right.
So we think that we know the Eye of Columbus. We know we think that we know how it works and how we should do it. But it's a different culture. It's a complete different mindset what they have there. And eventually, I'm sure that like without me giving anything directly to somebody, we will do a good job like going there.
Yeah.
rather than like tangible things like giving items. I feel like going there is a really eye-opening experience for yourself, so you learn so much. However, it's also important for the other side to gain something from your visit there. What do you believe your legacy that you left behind there?
That's a really good question, actually.
We don't give you easy questions.
Yeah, only tough ones.
The legacy that I gave to the people in Kenya is that we believe in the project and that we will come back. And that's a legacy where I think that every group will give back what goes to the project, because they do everything to feel us comfortable and to give us lessons as well. Without like us giving like sport lessons and sport classes, we get life lessons. It's really valuable to get that back. And I think that the legacy is that we believe in it, and that the studies believes in the project, and that we do everything in our power to get back whatever happens. But the direct legacy of our group, I don't really know about that.
Let me. You trigger a little bit because you mentioned that when you got there, immediately you had an understanding of, hey, I don't want to be I forgot the word.
Zungu. Israeli.
There you go. That just brings some goods and delivers, and then I go back. But there was a sensitivity to the culture and the situation in Kenya already. What kind of work did you do, or what kind of effort did you put into understanding that and maybe reflecting on yourself about what is the mindset with which I travel to Kenya?
Yeah, so during the project, we had two teachers of the SMNO, which were Rob and Michelle. Mm-hmm. And they took us on their journey because they already did it before, and they were preparing us on our trip. And during our trip, we had a couple of times that we sit together, and we had like our feedback moments where we were like discussing everything, what happened during those days. And I should admit that I was one of those guys who was crying at a certain time during those feedback moments because the realization of how you act and the impact which you are making actually is something for the good, and that it's not always going about you, but it's that like there's more in the world than only the safe zone where you're in.
Allows you to step outside for a little bit and
exactly
open your eyes
and exactly that. Yeah. So the coaches were really there, like to teach you something. It's not just going there. And one of the things I took out of that is like, be good fathers and you get it back. And that's exactly what happens there as well. If you're good for the kids over there, they will smell, and they will let you smell, and the smell says a lot.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So it wasn't a matter of Rob and Michelle explaining, and based on their experience, was it weeks before you actually traveled to Kenya, or months?
No, it's like a whole year. Whole year. And like during our stay in Kenya, we were sitting together every day, and in the middle of the trip, we had a real feedback moment where we were sitting, I think, like for 3 hours, and everybody could say his thing, and not only about the project and what the impact is for you at the project, but also like being so close with like a big group, because we were with 25 fellow students.
Yeah.
You become a family at some point.
Yeah, kind of. But like you can also like get tensions in that group.
Oh, that's part of it.
Is a part of it.
Yeah.
But it was good to talk about that and like realize what's happening and where are you now, and is this a really important thing?
Yeah, it's interesting because you go from the classroom, you're constantly, you have your weekly meetings, you're having conversations about a project which you're working and having putting a lot of time for it, and then all of a sudden you're actually there and you're sitting there, and then you have your reflection moments and kind of a wake up call that you're sitting in Kenya, you're there, it's real. What you've been working for the past year is actually a reality.
And it's a big roller coaster. So if you looked at the days, we were like in every morning we were building the sports facility of A-Step, and in the afternoon we went on the back of a Piki Piki, which is which is the most the most used public transport, which is a motorbike, and you get on the back with three others or two others, and they bring you to the slums, and then you get a little tour of half an hour through the slums, and then without noticing there are like 100 kids following you. You only brought one football and a bubble blowing thing, and then you can like enjoy all those kids, and it's so many impressions. What you get, is that the right word? Which is super cool, and you can see what sports does. You can like unite people. You can bring people together, and they had a football competition, and you could only participate if you had like different tribes in your team, which was amazing.
That's super good. For like a little back context, there's 42 tribes in Kenya, so there's a lot of also tribalism, so they kind of go against each other. So it's, I think sports is the perfect way to get everyone to go together and kind of see something else. They're just people at the end of the day, and all Kenyans, and I like that.
What did you notice? Because I'm trying to get an image in my head of having all these people from different tribes together during one sports tournament, and then now they have to create teams among them. What is that process like, and how do you experience that a little bit as an outsider looking in?
Yeah, so at the time when I came there, the teams were already there.
Okay.
But the fun part was to see like when somebody of the team made the sliding and he tackled like the opposite player, then it's not the tribes against each other. Then you see that the teams are like protecting themselves, and you're a part of the team. And then you see that it doesn't matter from which tribe you are. You're for that team, and you have the same goal where you go for it. Well, maybe the player where you're angry at is from the same tribe.
Right.
And that was really cool actually to see. And it's not like, that's one of the ways that A$AP used sports as a way to like unite people and bring people together. But the other part is that they had a fantastic way to educate the people who were there after a game. What we call in the Netherlands in derde helft, the third half, they have that in Kenya. But the difference is that like we have a chit chat about like the game or like how life is going. Well, in Kenya, the education isn't that good as in the Netherlands. They use that time to educate. They talk about like the, like with the girls' football teams about HIV, going to school. Yeah. They are sharing at that time a school uniform, and they sit in a round and they ask, whom of you should get this school uniform, and they will get a discussion about it, which is like so good. And so, as an outsider, it was, I can't describe it. I couldn't understand what I was seeing, and that people were like, with having so less, they were so happy, and they, they were even saying, like, having broken clothes or like shredded clothes. They were saying, no, give it to my neighbor because she should use it. I had one a couple months ago.
Right.
Like we are so materialistic compared with the people there.
I did an internship there for a month and a half, and I honestly didn't need much whatsoever. And I think that was like one of my happiest times of like my memory so far, because it's just, you're just in, you're just living, you're, there's like, it's really beautiful how they don't need that much to live. And here we're having, and we're complaining on a constant, like, we need this, we need more. But do you actually need more if you think about it at the end of the day?
No, definitely not. But I don't know what like, it's a mindset, I think. And I won't say that I'm not that guy who is always thinking, I want more, I want, like, I want to be better, or I want to get, like, if I look around, like, everybody has the new iPhone, like, almost everybody has the new iPhone or the new new bike, whatever. But if you look back at the essentials, like, what do you really need? Because it's also, like, a lot of frustration. Thinking, I always want better, and what if there's not that much? Mm-hmm. Then you don't have that, and you don't have that stress, actually. So maybe that's the way, the reason why they're really happy as well.
So you did Pomoje Kenya around 7 years ago, eight years ago, let's say.
Yeah.
Now it's coming to that, like, you last year as the 10th generation, you messaged us saying that you're going to do a half marathon to raise some money, which was super impressive when I heard that. And after all of those years, like, you have, it really left such an impact to you in order to return and actually want to do something. What made you that year decide, I'm going to do this half marathon?
So at the end of 2020, I was cleaning up my room and I found at that time a letter from my granddad. I can actually read a part about it.
Yeah, please.
And he wrote that letter for me in April 1995. And I translated it as good as I can, but he was a journalist of a big paper, so in Dutch it sounds really good, but I do my best in English. He said, "Happiness is a great concept, but too often it is being considered in terms of possession, money and goods, with glamour and capabilities, with knowledge and power. Those things can contribute to your happiness, but something else is needed as well. You need to use one's possessions and capabilities for the good of others as well. A beautiful song starts with, no one lives for themselves, meaning that you need to care for each other and take care for one another. You belong to a community of people who have to take care of each other. I stop preaching now. You will find it out yourself. Then you will also discover how hard it is to put this in practice."
Wow.
So I read that and I thought, okay, where do I have a connection with? And where do I have the idea that I do something for the good, and that I know 100% sure that, like, the money I can raise will go to a good place? And that's why I contacted you guys, I think, in end of February 2021, because I first wanted to train and I always had a lot of injuries and I was afraid that I would, like, start a fundraising and then get injured. But luckily I made it, and I had so much support from everybody, from, like, the third generation of Pomoje Kenya, and, like, a lot of people donated, and everybody was thinking back about the time we had, even parents from people who joined that trip said, I want to contribute a part, like, donating a bit. And just, like, give it over to the next generation and keep in mind that you can still do something for the good.
I think there's your legacy right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, wonderful.
It is, actually.
Yeah. Speaking of, do you have any plans of maybe going back to Kenya at some point?
Oh, yeah. I sometimes text with Timothy, and he always says, when are you coming back? When do you come back? And I am always like, yes, I would love to go back. Because I know that when I will come there, that I'm in good hands, and that I will feel completely secure and safe. But I want to do it, like, it's hard, but I want to make a really nice trip about it, and I want to contribute something again, and not just going to the safari and, like, saying hi. I would love to go to Kenya and, like, help in a project, or help maybe the Pomoje Kenya project at that time. Yeah. When they're there to help them organize the whole trip.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not in Kenya at the moment. However, I think Kenya came to us today. So we have a special surprise, a special guest all the way from Kenya. So we have, it's a very lucky day. The A-Step founder is here with us today, Timothy Lusala.
Let's give him a hand, yeah.
Yes, please welcome you. Welcome, karibu, karibu.
Thank you, Danquel.
Yeah, so we're extremely happy to have you here with us all the way from Kenya. You've come a very, very long way from the boy who spent his youth fighting for survival in the slums of Nairobi. And you grew into an entrepreneur with your own organization and changed people's lives for the better. Your journey itself is a story for itself and where a lot of people can learn and just see where you came from and where all of this has been rooted from. This has been pre-recorded and will be attached down in the show notes. And I really, really highly recommend you to give it a listen. It's super, truly inspiring. A-Step has been a partner with the Javia for over 10 years now, which is amazing. But what exactly is A-Step?
A-Step is an organization that uses sport as a tool to address issues affecting the community. We have a lot of issues affecting the community. People need hope. People need values, and it is giving them the next step to think about their personal development.
A step.
So it stands for Africa Sports and Talent Empowerment Program. And we, in the future, we want to reach out to all over Africa.
That's super powerful. Great. So the first generation was over 10 years ago, which is incredible to have maintained a relationship for quite some years. How were you able to develop it, and does it stay the same each year?
This has been a perfect program because even some of other organizations come to take us a case study. Do we have other universities? We want to work with other organizations. They come to A-Step to ask how we are collaborating and how the journey, and they want also to learn. And with all the generation since 2012, 2013, we have been having different groups, 20, 30, 40. So far we have hosted more than 200 students.
Wow.
Yeah, which is a big number. It is making a lot of impact. And when they come, every generation, there is something we learn from them because these are different personalities with different leaders. And we plan this the whole year. That leaders who are chosen with the Pamoja Kenya, we start planning. It's also on their side, they learn more of the leadership and also more of intercultural communication, also the culture. And on our side, what we learn a lot, we benefit a lot in terms of when they come, they give us new ideas. There is some things they see. Out of 20 students, they will give some comments. Out of the lecturers, they will give the personal structural management. And this has been growth. When I say 2011 is not the way we are now, it is some of the input of the student, some of the input of the lecturers. And the journey has been more of learning. And in every activity to them, it is also a lesson because they are meeting different people. And we have divided the program into five. One, professional level. When they come, they meet other universities, they visit other universities. Secondly, they interact with the community. And third, they organize events themselves. Mm-hmm. And this teach them how to interact, how to talk, how to learn culture. And thirdly, that is where they build. And in this building, every student who have visited A-Step, his name will be in that building. So wherever they will have their children, they will be grandfathers, they know in Africa they did something. So it will be a memorial for every student who have stepped into this organization because that is the legacy they will be leaving. The materials they give us, it has been sustaining our program. Because we use that, we have been baby given uniform. This young boy wears a jersey of Ajax, and he has been seeing Ajax on the television. How does he feel?
Yeah.
That's the powerful impact. He has been brought the shoes. And some of the children, it's their first time to wear the shoes. Tomorrow, they will be big. They'll remember somebody came from Europe. He made a change. And we have, when I bring a lot of that, I can say, they, when they see the name, some act, they can say, I remember Wouter. Wouter gave a boy a shoes. We have others who gave, Michelle gave some shoes to children. And these children, up to now, it is a memory. The jerseys, and we organize a tournament with a theme. Say no to drugs. Say no to crime. And while they are eyeing for that uniform or that trophy, that is the message. Don't go to drugs. Say no to prostitution. Yeah. So that is an impact of every generation. They are doing differently in terms of what we have been learning from them. And we feel that growth.
Yeah.
It's quite beautiful how there's like a mutualistic relationship. Both sides are benefiting. Both are growing with A-Step.
Kind of jump in there because yes. I want to go back to the Pamoja Kenya project and the link with A-Step. Thinking back about, you know, 11 years ago, and then we had Wouter's year when he came to Kenya and help out. How do you see, you know, a briefly overview of how you see the progress of that partnership?
The partnership on our side as A-Step, it is going up.
Right.
Because we have had interns, and interns are very strong.
Mm-hmm.
We learn a lot from them. They mm-hmm. learn a lot from us.
Interns like Michelle.
Michelle was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I say we learn a lot from them, when Michelle came there, some things she told me like, oh, team, how can I communicate in front of people?
Mm.
You know, how can I organize this? But when she came out of there, she was perfect. She could organize, she could go to different companies to ask for these. She also faced some frustration because people promise
sure.
and they don't give.
Yeah.
She also sweet. She was very excited. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this. But at the end of the day, out of his experience, life management, she'll also understand how to deal with people.
Yeah. Michelle, how did you perceive that experience?
No, I think it was pretty interesting because I went with such a mind of just wanting to learn. And I had that time after you did something first and then you're like, okay, Michelle, it's your turn. And I'm there like, whoa, I need to speak. And it was it was out of my comfort zone, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I think also with the support from you, I think I felt a lot more comfortable, especially at the beginning of speaking in front of the whole group of people. It was very nerve-wracking. And then afterwards, you also kind of realize the purpose of why you're doing it. And so I kind of left my body a little bit and kind of just saw the bigger picture and the bigger purpose of what I'm there for. And so I feel like that kind of made it more, yeah.
Yeah, sounds like a very profound experience. And I can feel the energy, of course, flowing from you, Tim, and what Wouter is talking about. And I can see you lighten up, Michelle, when you talk about your internship. So
yeah,
it feels like a reunion we're having here. And I'm the only one who's never been. So that's got to be on my to-do list, I guess.
You're next. So I just want to say thank you so, so much for coming and being on the Inside Out podcast. Taking your time and energy out of it, looking back to who you were and forward to who you want to become is a little quote I want to leave with you guys behind.
Yeah, and to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you guys enjoyed it. We certainly did, and I hope you guys can relate to Wouter's story and maybe take some inspiration of it. I think a nice takeaway is just to be bold and approach people, and don't be afraid to get an open answer. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. And again, our listeners, make sure to follow Inside Out on Spotify and don't miss any episodes.